Today is Wednesday, December the 11th, 2019. Welcome to More of the Word with Pastor Chuck Pusho, a podcast designed to help you start your daily devotion with a biblically focused intention. Here's Pastor Chuck.
Hello. Today our text is from 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 19 and 20, in which also he went and made proclamation to the spirits now in prison, who once were disobedient when the patience of God kept waiting in the days of Noah during the construction of the ark, in which a few, that is, eight persons, were brought safely through the water. Yikes. Here's a tough one. What is Peter talking about here? Well, let's keep it in context. At the end of verse 18, Peter proclaimed that Jesus was put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit. Some who have rejected the historicity of the resurrection of Jesus claim that he wasn't actually dead when he was taken down from the cross. He merely fell into a semi-coma and was revived in the coolness of the tomb. Then he unwrapped himself and walked out. How he was able to do that when the door guarded by Roman soldiers was closed by a heavy stone isn't explained. Nevertheless, such rumors would surface from time to time. So Peter declared that Jesus died, quote, in the flesh, end quote, removing all doubt that on the cross, the physical life of Jesus of Nazareth ceased. The phrase made alive in the spirit is a reference to Jesus's eternal inner person. The Lord's inner person, like yours, continues to live after his physical death. So he continued to exist during the time his corpse lay in the tomb. His being alive in the spirit is not a reference to his resurrection, since he never ceased to exist in the spirit. He didn't die in the spirit. Had he been referring to the resurrection, Peter would have said he was made alive in the flesh. On the third day, his body was indeed resurrected in its eternal glorified state. In short, while the body of Jesus was dead, he remained alive in the spirit and active. In verse 19, Peter refers to what happened with this living spirit while his physical body lay in the tomb. When the text says Christ made proclamation to the spirits now in prison, it is indicating that he purposefully went to an actual place to make a triumphant announcement of victory to captive beings after he died and before he rose. Where is this place? Who are these beings? Let's look at that. This verb is not saying that Jesus went there to preach the gospel. It's a different word altogether. Rather, Christ went to proclaim, declare his victory to the enemy by announcing his triumph over sin, death, hell, demons, and Satan. He directed this proclamation to the spirits, not human beings, now in prison. What spirits are these? Well, ever since the fall of Satan and his demons, there has been an ongoing cosmic conflict between the angelic forces of good and evil. After the devil's apparent victory in inducing Adam, Eve, and all subsequent people to fall to sin, God promised the evil one himself eventually would be destroyed by the Messiah. Satan, through the ages, has sought to thwart this promise. It culminated in inciting the Jewish leaders to bring about the death of this promised Messiah. Currently, we struggle against these demonic forces, but they're already defeated. they were the day Jesus appeared with a triumphant grin and declared his victory. But we do still battle for a while. Hence the words in Ephesians 6:12, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places." But don't lose heart, for the victory has been won. It was not, though, to such unbound spirits that are waging war now in the world, but to the bound demons that Christ went to announce his triumph. So in other words, of the demons that fell and began to rebel against God, there are some who have been bound and are not free to go about doing the work of the devil in the world. Some of these evil spirits are free to roam the earth. Others are in bondage, in prison, in the abyss. This is described in Jude 6. "And angels who did not keep their own domain, but abandoned their proper abode, he has kept in eternal bonds under darkness for the judgment of the great day." So these spirits now in prison, as he describes them, in the abyss, are those who, as he says, once were disobedient in the days of Noah. Now, there are still many who are not bound in the abyss, as is seen in the exorcism of the man of the Gerasenes who was possessed by, according to the text, a legion of demons. And we learn that the demons that possessed this man who were about to be taken away from him, brought out of him by Jesus, were, quote, imploring him not to command them to go away into the abyss, end quote. Peter further identifies the demons to whom Christ preached his triumphant declaration as those who were once disobedient during the time of Noah, as the reason that God bound them permanently in the place of imprisonment. That disobedience is specifically related to something that happened during the time of Noah. Those wicked spirits were sent then to the abyss because they overstepped the boundaries of God's tolerance. How were they disobedient during the time of Noah? Several theories exist, but the time and purpose of this podcast do not permit our entertaining them. It is sufficient to say that they overstepped their bounds, and therefore a number of these demons were forever imprisoned in the abyss, not able to carry on spiritual warfare against God's people in the world. And so these evil and rebellious spirits had been imprisoned in the abyss since the time of Noah. Imagine their shock when Jesus appeared to declare his victory. That cemented in their consciousness that their current home was their eternal home. In that moment, all hope for them was lost. Bottom line, Jesus won. And because of that, you don't have to share the experience of these abyss-dwelling evil spirits if you trust Jesus.
Thank you for listening to More of the Word with Pastor Chuck Puccio. Our hope is that this program will help you kickstart your own time alone with God each day. We invite you to use it to set your mind on the things of Him. If you have any questions about this episode or other biblical matters, please feel free to email Pastor Chuck directly at chuck@broadmoor.tv.